Numbers chapter 35. If you would stand for the reading of God's word, we'll read some verses here. Numbers chapter 35, and we'll start in verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall ye appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. And ye shall give three cities on the side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any persons unaware may flee thither. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I desperately need you this morning. I pray you'd please fill me with your Spirit's power. I pray that you'd help me this morning as I deliver your word. I pray that you'd help each and every person have a heart ready to receive your word and be looking to get something from your book. I pray, God, that if there's anybody lost here today, as we'll be talking about how you're a refuge for the sinner, I pray that today would be the day that they'd run to you and they'd accept you as their Savior. I pray you'd help us this morning. God, we need your help. If you don't meet with us this morning, if you don't help us, if you don't show up, God, it's all in vain. And we pray that you'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. These cities are there for those guilty of manslaughter, not murder. And we'll read on through the chapter, but God wanted to provide a place for the man who killed somebody accidentally, so he didn't have to die. That somebody who was guilty wouldn't have to perish. Let's read verse 16 through 21 very quickly. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with a throwing stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred or hurl at him by lying of wait that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. Murder is unacceptable to God. God says that the man who murders must be put to death. If a man goes and intends to kill, that individual must be killed, the Bible says. God says that the kin of the slain would take care of that putting to death. The punishment for murder was meant to be so severe that no one would ever want to do that. Nobody would ever want to take another man's life because the punishment in God's law was severe enough. They lose their life. There wasn't any excuses. There was no, what kind of mind was he in when he did this? Was he in his right mind? No, there's none of that with this. It is clear cut and dry. If you kill a man, God says their life was to be taken. But we're not here this morning to talk about murder, but rather the manslayer. We'll read verses 22 through 28, and then we'll get to the meat of our message this morning. But if you thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without lying of wait, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. There may be a gut-wrenching story, a story that would move us to emotion of how this man killed this individual. It might have not been of bad intentions. It might have just been a freak accident, but it doesn't change the fact that this man's still dead. There is still a widow. There's still kids without a father. There are still repercussions for this death. There is still a man who lost his life. And verse 33 says that innocently shed blood defileth the land, and it cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So we see that in this blood pollutes the land in God's law and God's mind. So there must be some repercussions for what for the shed blood. This man, even though he didn't mean to kill him, even though he didn't intend to take this life, he'll still have to leave his homeland. He'll lose his liberty. He'll lose his freedom. Yet we see here what a merciful God. We see what an understanding God to provide a place where someone who is guilty doesn't have to die. A place where the guilty may live out his days in peace. And as we think about this passage this morning, I think about that before I knew the commandments of God, I was sinning against the God of the commandments. I never intended to be a thief, but when I was a child, I saw somebody else's toy that I thought I'd like to have it better than they need to have it. And I took it. I didn't intend to be a thief, but I was. And, you know, children don't intend to be liars, but they don't tell the truth. And we don't always intend to break God's law. We did it unintentionally, but we still sin against the God of heaven. We still sin against the God of the Bible. And we all still continue in sin in ways that we're not even aware of. I don't know how long you've been reading your Bible, but I promise you, we haven't figured it all out. There's still something new to learn. There's still some part of obedience that we haven't attained to yet. The wage to every sin is death, not just somebody else's sin, not just the people you look at and say, oh, okay, so-and-so's sins are really bad, but my sins aren't that bad. Your and I's little sins, the wage for every single one of those sins is death. We are all marked as sinners by our sin, even if you didn't intend to commit them or you weren't aware that they were a sinner or that it was a sin, you're still a sinner. You still broke God's law. Even or whether or not you understood the severity of your sin or not, you're still a sinner. Yet this morning, I'm happy to tell you, and I'm happy to tell us all, that God has provided a place of refuge. You and I may run to that place of refuge, and even though we've sinned, and even though sometimes we might not have even known it was a sin, and we were a sinner before we even could understand that, we may run and we can be free from that death. And if you abide there in that city of refuge, the avenger of blood cannot touch you. He can stand outside the city and demand justice, but if that person will abide in that city, he will be safe. The Bible speaks of Jesus as being our refuge. If you go over to Hebrews chapter number 6, it was read this morning in Sunday school, but we'll read it again. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse 18 and 19 says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil. We have a hope, we have a refuge, a hope that as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's the refuge we have. Jesus Christ is our refuge. How wonderful a thing. If you have sinned this morning, and you have, if you have sinned and don't know you have, that's what we're talking about. You may not be aware, but it's real. You have an option to die under the justice and the wrath of God, or flee to the place God provided as a refuge. Which God, if it didn't matter if he was rich. This man, he couldn't buy his way out of the fact that that man was dead. It didn't matter if he was poor or how bad his story was. It didn't change the fact that that man was still dead. He still deserved death. It didn't matter if he was a Jew or a stranger. It didn't matter his race or where he was from. If that man killed a man, there had to be justice. And if he wanted to escape that death, if he wanted to escape that judgment, he had to flee to the place of refuge God had provided. This morning, you can't find refuge in baptism. If you're trusting in the fact that you got baptized this morning, the Bible says you're lost. You cannot find refuge in baptism. It doesn't matter if you're a member of a good church and if you don't miss any services, or if you're a good person and you do good things. Good things and good intentions can't get us into heaven. If that man wanted to go anywhere else, he wouldn't have been safe from that revenger of blood. It's just like, remember Naaman, whenever he went to the prophet, and the prophet said, hey, wash in Jordan. And he got mad, and he said, why can't I go and wash in the rivers of Syria? They're so much nicer, so much cleaner. And if he would have went there, he would have stayed a leper, wouldn't he have? Just like this man, if he would have ran to any other city in Israel, he wouldn't have been safe. He wouldn't have been saved from the revenger of blood. So you can only find refuge in Jesus Christ this morning. If you want to be saved from your sins, saved from the penalty of your sin, the only way you can do that is to find refuge in Jesus Christ. If you haven't fled to Jesus Christ for your refuge, you're lost. And the Bible says the penalty for that sin is death, and death in hell. And if you're there this morning, the great thing is you can run to Jesus. The Bible says, now to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, to him his righteousness, or to him his faith is counted for righteousness. You can't work, you have to him that worketh not is salvation, to those that put their faith in Jesus Christ. It didn't matter if he liked the refuge. You might not like a lot of things about the church or about the Bible. You might not agree with it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. This man said, hey, I don't like that refuge. I don't like that city. I don't want to go. He's dead. It doesn't matter if the trip was too hard or he didn't feel like he wanted to make that trip. He's dead. It didn't matter if he had things to do or things he wanted to accomplish around the house before he left. Hey, he's dead. We have to flee to Jesus for refuge. So I have a couple of points about the city of refuge that we can see about Jesus Christ and how it points to him. The first one is, we see God placed six cities so that a city was always near. Go to Acts chapter 17. God had them place these cities of refuge so that no man in Israel was too far from it. Acts 17 and verse 26 and 27 tell us. Acts 17, 26 and 27 say, talking about God and saying that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their inhabitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Jesus Christ isn't far from anyone here today. God didn't want one single manslayer to die. You know why? So he provided a place. He loved him, so he provided a place for them to go. So he placed a city nearby where a man might run to. Hey, no one is too far from Christ this morning. It doesn't matter if you're, how good you think you are or how bad you think you are. We all equally need Jesus Christ. You know, people want to talk about we need equality and we need rights and all these different things they want to talk about and how everybody needs to be equal. You're never going to find more equity and more equality than in Jesus Christ. We're all equally a sinner, we're all equally condemned to hell, and we can all equally trust in the same Savior, and we can all be saved. Friend, this morning, if you're guilty of sin, and we all are, you need to run to Jesus Christ. He'll save you this morning. You'll find a refuge for your soul. Christ is accessible to every man. It wasn't predetermined millions of years ago who was going to be in hell. God died on the cross to save every man. If you would go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Christ died for every man. About 2,000 years ago, God became a man and he hung on a cross. He was buried and rose again. So you and I and every individual who ever lived could be saved. We could all be born again. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 says in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ came to save sinners. Chapter 2, verse 6 says that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Then go over to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 2 says, we'll read verse 1, 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every man, can, woman, and child can be saved. Jesus Christ died so nobody would have to go to hell. There is no reason why anybody should ever have to die in their sins. Jesus Christ died to take away our sins. And not only were these cities built where they'd be close enough everybody could run to them, all the cities, if we were to, it talks about them and names them in Joshua chapter 20, they're all built on a high place. And Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And God placed these cities so you could look up and you could see. And if you were running, you're trying to get away from that manslayer, you see that hill, you look ahead, you could see where that city was. You could see where that safety was. And just like Jesus Christ was hung and lifted up on a cross so that every man might be saved, every woman might be saved, nobody has to pay for their own sins anymore. The history tells us that the children of Israel took great pains to build wide roads, to build open roads to these cities. And obviously that's not Bible, but that's what Jewish history tells us. And great pain was taken to upkeep those roads and keep them where anybody could make it there and make it easy to get there. Christ will save anybody. The Lord doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why he died. If you could work your way there, his death was in vain. He died because we'd never be good enough. There's no man here too good that he doesn't need a savior, and there's no one here that's too wicked that they cannot be saved. Christ will save anybody. You can flee to Jesus and be sure he'll save you this morning. And then thirdly, we see safety was guaranteed as long as the priest was alive. Remember, we read that verse and it said he was supposed to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died. But if you go over to Hebrews chapter number 7, Hebrews chapter number 7, and we will read verses 22 through 25. Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 22 through 25, by so much as Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they surely were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. We see that Jesus Christ is our high priest. And in the Old Testament, with those cities of refuge, you were guaranteed that safety until that high priest died. But after he died, you could go home. And in our case, we never have to leave the city of refuge. There's never a time that we have to leave Jesus Christ. And if you've been saved, you are forever saved. We never have to leave the city of refuge. Jesus Christ ever lives and intercedes for us. There's never a moment that Christ isn't interceding for you and I. We have been saved to the uttermost. We are now forever saved. When someone flees to Jesus Christ, when somebody takes up refuge and seeks refuge in Jesus Christ, they are forever safe from death. My friend, if you'll run to Jesus, he'll save you and keep you forever. There's never a sin that could be committed that could make you lose your salvation. God saves us and keeps us forever. And what a great thing to think about this morning, that Jesus Christ saved us to the uttermost. And no matter what happens, you and I, if we've been born again, if we've trusted in Jesus Christ, we are on our way to heaven. God has saved us. So, sinner, if you haven't, God can save you this morning and he'll keep you and he'll give you eternal life and he'll never take it from you. Our high priest lives eternally, so he will forever intercede for us. So as we bring it to a close this morning, the city of refuge was set up by God so that the manslayer's life might be saved. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all deserve death for our sins. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But God has provided a place where your soul might find refuge. Have you been saved this morning? Have you ran to Jesus for a refuge? Salvation can only be found in Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? You can never find refuge in anything else but Jesus Christ. If you're not wholly trusting on the Lord this morning and what Jesus Christ did when he shed his blood for you on the cross, you're lost. God says hell is the punishment for sin, eternal death. The only way to find safety from death is to run to Jesus Christ. If you'll trust in Christ, if you'll repent of your sins and believe on him, he'll save you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Go over to John 3 and Romans 10 and we'll be done. John chapter number 3 first. John chapter 3, these are very familiar verses, but they're important for us to read. John chapter 3 verses 16 through 18 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And then verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, that's our refuge. If you want a refuge for your soul, it's Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. If you want to be saved this morning, you want to be free from your sins, you want to be forgiven, you want to know that heaven's your home, you want to have fellowship with the Creator of the universe, this is how you do it. You believe on Jesus Christ. You put your full faith and trust in him. And says, and just like Christ didn't come here to condemn the world, God didn't set up these cities of refuge to condemn those manslayers, to make them feel bad. He provided them so they could be safe, so they could be saved, so they didn't have to die for what had happened. Just like that, Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. We were condemned because of our sin, we were condemned already, but that's why Jesus Christ came, so we might be saved. And then lastly, we'll read Romans 10, and then we'll be done. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you been saved? If not, you need to run to Jesus Christ today. Are you saved? If not, you should make today the day you settle that. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're lost, you've never been born again, maybe you don't even fully understand what I'm talking about this morning. If that's you, if you're not for sure, you need to get that settled today. We're going to have a time in a couple minutes, and you can come forward, and somebody can take the Bible, God's Word, the God inspired and preserved a perfect book, so you and I could know what he says, know what he thinks, and he gave us his Bible, his Word, and we'll take this Bible and we'll show you how you can be absolutely assured that heaven's your home, absolutely assured that Jesus is your refuge. You need to make today. Don't wait. Run to Christ today. Let's pray. Dear Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity you give us, given me to preach. God, I'm thankful for church. I'm so thankful that you're a refuge for our soul, God. When I was condemned, when I was lost, when the only thing I deserved was hell, you reached down and you saved me, God, and you died on the cross for me, and I'm so grateful for that. Thankful you died for each and every one of us so that we might be saved, so that we could trust in you. So if we want that refuge for our soul, we can find it. I pray you'd help us today. If anybody's lost, I pray that they would get saved. And in Jesus' name I pray.